Visit or call any Social Security office. They'll be glad to help you. Until next time, when we pay tribute to another genius on the black side, this is James Earl Jones saying so long.
This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Slow cooking, whether on your stovetop or in a slow cooker, can make the economical cuts of meat taste delicious. Less tender cuts like bottom round and brisket taste best if cooked in moist heat, so they're ideal for slow cooking. Since these cuts usually give you the most meat for your money, you can have economy and good taste. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love hearing from you. It's 855-915-WMFO. And we're getting onto the world. Let's talk about the world, Derek. Pakistan.
Yeah.
I know. It just kind of puts a sour taste in your mouth.
How up to date are you on Pakistan? We'll find out.
Well, they said their Air Force shot down 2 Indian fighter jets.
Yes.
Over the disputed border region of Kashmir, which was a significant escalation of the crisis between the two very, very highly nuclear armed powers. Yeah. According to CNN, Indian authorities confirmed the loss of one plane and said it shot down a Pakistani jet as it responded to the incident. Pakistan claimed to have captured an Indian pilot and published a video of him. India demanded his safe return. This came a day after India said it launched airstrikes in Pakistan in the first such incursion by Indian Air Force planes since the India-Pakistan War of 1971. So basically, everything's the best.
Here's the fun part about this. Because it's always fun when nuclear-armed countries are escalating in tension.
Oh, yeah. It's not terrifying at all.
Although,
see, that's something that is actually terrifying.
Although, well here's the thing. No, because
I mean, I guess not for us. They're not going to like hop over here.
The rest of the world will happily sit by and let India and Pakistan lob
blow
nuclear
each other
weapons
to bits
at each other. We don't care. Like, just go ahead, do it.
But if anyone understands anything about climate,
the fallout won't get here, so we'll be fine. The fallout won't get here. You don't have to worry about that. You're not going to be able to go to Pakistan for 20 years, but. You know,
I'm probably going to die of cancer from like 9 different things anyway, so
yeah,
I'm not too worried about it.
So, you know, but honestly, I mean, when I say the world will allow these countries to lob nuclear weapons at each other, they will, because they're located in an area where the fallout and the damage from that would likely only impact those two countries or other extremely impoverished, thinly settled countries.
Most of whom are also fighting with each other.
That the Western world, the industrialized world, largely doesn't give a hoot about. So, you know, I hear about nuclear escalation, or I hear about escalation between India and Pakistan, and I say to myself, it's a matter of time. Sooner or later, one of them is going to drop a bomb on the other one.
I think that's what's so terrifying about it, though, is that, as you said, and I'm trying to say this in the least elitist way possible, but as you said, they're undeveloped. So
right.
it's like when you hear those stories of kids getting into their dad's gun closet and shooting their friend by mistake. Like, that's the way I feel about people like this having nuclear weapons, is that they're going to suddenly knee-jerk and I was just about to say, they're not going to do the right thing with a nuclear bomb.
And the reality
is, oh my God, what a ridiculous sentence.
The reality is, they probably won't lob nukes at each other because
they'd probably affect their own home country.
Right.
I mean, this is a border war.
And I believe that both countries understand if you fire nuclear weapons at each other, nobody's coming to help you. You're on your own. That's your bad. And we're not even going to talk to you anymore. So that is their incentive not to do it. The world's general disinterest in this situation is the most compelling reason
to not
use nuclear weapons. So it kind of balances itself out. Yeah.
That is a very logical argument.
Yeah.
Albeit about an illogical situation.
Well, I mean, we talked about this.
Well, they care so much about this tiny piece of land that's really kind of worth nothing. You know, like, I mean, it's not like it has buttloads of oil, or it's a really great farming land, like, or a really great port. Like, it's just there. And
yeah,
it's just like how they fight over how Palestine and Israel fights over Jerusalem. It's like, you just want to claim this because you want to win. It has almost nothing to do with any actual reason for wanting this land.
Exactly. Like, what it actually has something to do with.
It has to do with pride.
It's not even pride. It's worse than that.
There's something worse than pride?
Yes. This is all political theater. That's the worst part of this.
Tomato, tomato.
Narendra Modi's government in India is facing re-election. The people in India are generally unhappy with the government.
Mm.
And so the government decided to enter Pakistan's airspace and drop bombs on Pakistani-held territory to blow up some alleged terrorists. We don't know if they got the terrorists or not, but that's what set this whole thing off.
And did they bow afterwards?
And they were flying in to do that again today when the Pakistani Air Force showed up and shot down at least one of their planes and captured at least one of their pilots. So that's all this is.
And made a video of it.
This is a campaign stunt by India's prime minister, by their ruling party. They deserve no sympathy. And the rest,
agreed.
And the rest of the world's just kind of sitting there like, really? Like, this is what you're going to do? Really? Really?
I think, honestly, a lot of it has to do with them just wanting us to remember they exist.
No, it's worse than that, Shay. It's because somebody wants votes.
God. Well, that's, I mean, that's what's crazy. So much is happening in our country, and it's like you sometimes have to be reminded that similar absurdity is happening elsewhere.
For everything bad you can say about Donald Trump, he's not bombing anyone to get votes.
That's true. Well, yet.
Right. He's keeping people from entering the country, but he's not bombing anyone to get votes. From Reuters, this is...
Oh, you love Reuters.
This is a big story. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani held back from accepting the resignation of his foreign minister on Tuesday, standing by a moderate ally long targeted by hardliners in internal factional struggles over a 2015 nuclear deal with the West. The minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, a U.S.-educated veteran diplomat who helped craft the pact that curbed Iran's nuclear program in return for sanctions relief, gave no reason for his decision to quit when he announced it on Instagram on Monday. But his move thrust the schism between Iran's hardliners and moderates into the open, effectively challenging Supreme Leader Ayatollah al-Khamenei to pick a side. An ally of Zarif said his resignation was motivated by criticism of the nuclear accord under increasingly intense fire in Iran since the United States abandoned it last year. Quote, "There were closed-door meetings every week where top officials were bombarding him with questions about the deal and what will happen next and so on," a Zarif ally told Reuters on condition of anonymity. He and his boss, Rouhani, were under a huge amount of pressure. Since the United States walked out of the nuclear deal and reimposed sanctions last year, Rouhani has had to explain why Iran has continued to abide by its restrictions while reaping virtually none of the foreseen economic benefits. Despite announcing his resignation, Zarif had not officially tendered it to Rouhani by Tuesday afternoon, and the president had not accepted it. This is where things still stand with this story at this point. Zarif wants to walk away from this. Zarif has had it. Zarif is done.
It reminds me of a couple Americans, actually.
Zarif, I do not envy this man because Zarif is really out on an island here. He signs this nuclear treaty.
A man on an island.
He signs this nuclear treaty with Obama, basically giving up things that Iran does not want to give up in exchange for getting some easing of economic sanctions. Donald Trump walks in and rips the thing up and says, this is the worst agreement ever. And at the time it was signed, there were a lot of people here in the United States, including myself, who thought it was a bad deal. But even though it was a bad deal, it was better than no deal, which is what we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Iran's economy is crumbling. Iran is under a tremendous amount of pressure from Saudi Arabia and its allies to get its act together and stop sponsoring terrorism and stop sponsoring the Houthis and other things that Iran is doing to try and exert its influence in the region. There is an ongoing conflict in Iran between the elected officials, who are by and large moderate, Western friendly, and the Ayatollahs, who are massively conservative and hostile to the West, over who is really in charge of the country. The Ayatollahs call the shots, ultimately. They are the ones who are in charge. And they sort of puppet the government to try and keep the moderates from rising up and overthrowing them, which they know can happen. They are afraid of this. It's happened in other. You may recall the Arab Spring. You may recall that it did not spread to Iran.
No, it did not.
Because the Ayatollahs will not have it. But they know that their position is precarious. So for Zarif to make this announcement that I am going to resign is a huge wrench thrown into the middle of the gears of everything else that's going on in Iran right now. And it basically illustrates just how close to chaos and collapse that country really is. Something major is going to happen with Iran sometime in the next couple of years. And either the Ayatollahs are going to be thrown out or the Ayatollahs are going to dissolve the government and seize absolute control. One or the other. But right now they're getting pressure from all sides. It can't keep going the way that it has been. And Zarif is your first and most obvious casualty of that.
God. I mean, this is just an utter mess. And it's weird. Like, I remember when I was a kid asking my parents, when I heard about that, I mean, it was just generally put around then. I'm talking about like the 90s, just like the war in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I remember asking my father when it was going to end, because I had, you know, I had learned at this point about like the Civil War and World War One and World War Two. And my dad just laughed. Like, I don't think it's going to.
No, it will end when.
Like, ever. I'm 32 years. I'm 32 going on 33. I asked my father this question when I was 8.
It will
Not
end.
Much has changed.
It will end whenever everybody on one side dies. That's when it will
so
end.
So when someone drops a nuke, basically.
No. It could be, you you can,
or when global warming decides to really kick it up a notch and could, wash all of them under the Indian Ocean.
You could kill everyone else by stabbing. You could kill everyone else by strangulation, but it will not end until everybody on one side dies. And then among the survivors...
Oh, we have to decide who then.
Among the survivors, there will probably be some faction that splits off because all they've ever known is war. And they have to keep the war going with somebody.
And then we're going to have to kill them.
So they'll find some other reason to go to war for centuries. It's what they do.
It's so boring. Like, I remember when I lived in the Bronx, half of my friends that weren't, that didn't go to my college, that were just like my neighborhood friends, were in the Bloods or the Crips, which it wasn't even where it originated. Yeah. Like, they stole that idea from Los Angeles. But... we'd like smoke pot together and stuff. And I'd be like, why are you doing this? And they're like, oh, it's just what you do. Like, this is our culture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, your culture is being in a situation where like you could get stabbed for wearing the wrong color. Like, I don't. Then move.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, anyways, speaking of, the opposite type of country. The Montreal Alouettes have released quarterback Johnny Manziel, saying that
Manziel?
Really?
Yep. That's how he pronounces it. Johnny Manziel.
Well, he should take that I out of his name.
Yes, he should.
Saying he, quote, contravened the agreement which made him eligible to play in the Canadian Football League, end quote. The CFL effectively said that this man who won the 2012 Heisman Trophy is completely terminated. They even informed the 8 other teams that it wouldn't register a contract for him if anyone tried to sign him.
Apparently, Johnny Manziel, who's a former Heisman Trophy winner, flamed out spectacularly with the Cleveland Browns and amid incident after incident off the field.
He seems just kind of like a drama queen.
He's been...
And you know this is not my area of expertise.
Right. He's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And part of his...
Oh my goodness, is that topical.
Part of his contract with the Canadian Football League laid out a series of steps that he had to take. He had to keep taking his medication. He had to go see a doctor. I would imagine not drinking was one of the things on the list. They haven't said which, but there was a whole care plan for him that if you want to be a quarterback in the CFL, you were going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped doing one of them. He stopped doing E. And they're like, nope, that's it. No second chances. You're gone. So it's nice to see a professional sports team and a sports league putting the health and well-being of a player ahead of the interests of the league.
To recognize that mental health issues exist in and of themselves.
At the same time, the guy threw like 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in his last few games. So, you know, he's not really playing at the highest possible level.
Well, it's...
I hate to take that view of it, but, you know, if we're talking about Baker Mayfield or if we're talking about Tom Brady... You know, comes down and they're having a little bit of trouble. It's like, you make millions of dollars for this franchise. Like, we'll fix this quietly. Johnny Manziel is a rehab case. You know, it's like you're trying to work your way back. You better do everything right and play good football.
Hmm.
And if you don't do either of those things, you're gone.
I actually, like I said, I literally had no idea who he was until I saw this story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one, and it's sad actually because you know none of this came out until he made it into the pros and really started to crack under the pressure.
And well, and that's a lot of times the case with things like this is, I mean, it's ironic that a lot of times the most talented people are people with mental disorders. And while a lot of times those people can thrive under the pressure, it can also break them down.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's like once you get broken down, it's hard to claw your way back out.
And in Manziel's case, when he was with the Browns, it was drinking to the point that he could not physically be at practice. So that's obviously not going to work for a pro football team.
Yeah, you kind of have to be in good shape for that.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye.
In other sports news, yes, here it comes,
please,
kids.
Let it be something happy. Jesus Christ.
Here it comes. It's what you've been waiting for a week. From the Boston Herald, Robert Kraft bought sex act on morning of AFC title game, police say.
What?
New tawdry details released by Palm Beach County's top prosecutor allege Patriots owner Robert Kraft bought sex acts shortly before jetting off to the AFC Championship game, hugging and tipping the woman on the way out after the 14-minute stop. Jupiter, Florida.
Florida. Just a second. Did you just say 14 minutes?
14 minutes. That includes, by the way.
I've been trying so hard not to snort on the air, but that was a snort-worthy moment.
That 14 minutes, by the way, includes the time that he spent walking into the establishment, walking into the back room, removing whatever articles of clothing were necessary for him to remove, experiencing the sex act, cleaning up, putting his articles of clothing back on.
So the actual sex act lasted like 3 minutes. Oh my goodness.
Hey.
Thank you, Derek. I really needed that.
Best $100 Bobby Kraft ever spent.
Well, and especially like picturing him specifically. Like that's, it's like, when the whole Monica Lewinsky thing happened, I remember that was like my first introduction to like men cheating on women and stuff like that. And I love Bill Clinton my whole life, and having nothing to do with his politics, having something to do with his politics, but just because like he's a charismatic dude, I can see why some random little intern, wanted to get on that. But I remember picturing that happening in the Oval Office and just keeling over laughing.
Jupiter, Florida, police say. We have more details, which is always the best.
Oh, God, please.
Jupiter, Florida, police say they have video evidence that Kraft pulled up in a blue Bentley to patronize the Orchids of Asia Day Spa on January 20th, 10:59 a.m., according to a police affidavit released Monday. That morning, just under 8 hours before his Patriots were due to play the Kansas City Chiefs for the AFC Championship, Kraft stopped by in a blue baseball cap, greeting the woman inside with a hug, police say. Video then shows Kraft spending the next 14 minutes there as the woman performed a sex act, according to the police. He then hugged her and paid her $100 before leaving, police say. The previous day, at 4:45 p.m., Kraft spent 40 minutes there and paid for and received a sex act, after which he hugged the women there and left, police say. Cops pulled him over.
Oh, at least he gave her a hug.
Cops pulled him over in a traffic stop shortly after in a different Bentley, this one white, and identified him via his license, the affidavit states. Kraft is one of 25 men nabbed on solicitation charges following a months-long investigation into Orchids of Asia. The police began eyeing the place in October and set up video inside on January 17th, according to documents. So, Robert Kraft heading out to the Happy Endings massage parlor. Apparently, the women who were providing these services were trafficked from China. They were living at the massage parlors. Their passports had been confiscated. They weren't ever allowed to go anywhere. And they said, welcome to America. Here's your job. I find it hilarious that he is driving his Bentley. Oh, by the way, this massage parlor is in a strip mall next to an Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, that sounds about right.
And a nail salon.
Oh, so, you know, it's one-stop shopping, really.
So everybody else in the strip mall is sitting around like, where are all these Bentleys and Ferraris coming from? And why is everyone going into that massage parlor at like 9 o'clock at night? And then they find out what's going on, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, why is it? How is this happening? This isn't Providence, Rhode Island. This is Jupiter, Florida. We're classy down here.
We're classy in Jupiter, Florida.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's, you look at it and you're like, you're Robert Kraft. And actually, Heidi Fleiss.
I was going to say, that's the thing, is like, you can't go to like some high class, we can sign an NDA place.
Heidi Fleiss wrote a column about this today.
I love Heidi Fleiss.
And basically, the Hollywood Madam. She used to do this professionally.
Oh, yeah. Heidi Fleiss is so cool.
And
think what you will about how she made her living, but she is super cool.
And she basically said, you know, a lot of people are asking why Robert Kraft and these other billionaires, because there were a lot of billionaires going to this rub and tug joint. Said, you know,
I'm so glad this is your sports story.
People are asking the question, like, why are they going to the rub and tug? And her answer was, because it's there and they want sex. That's all there is to it. They want sex and it's there.
That's, well, and I think about, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, and of course, Heidi Fleiss, if anybody's going to have an expert opinion on this, it's her.
Yeah. She then spun that into a, we really should legalize prostitution in this country.
Amen.
Piece. And, you know, she's got a point.
She has an excellent point. That's part of why I love her. If we legalize prostitution, then there would be far fewer rapes. People with weird fetishes would have an outlet for them instead of going insane. Yeah, I agree. But it does stand to reason that it's kind of like if you went on a date with somebody that you were a little embarrassed about dating them, so you take them to a random Chinese joint, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like sort of like that, where it's like, okay, I'm doing this sort of tawdry, embarrassing thing. I'll go to this random strip mall instead of, you know, going to the bunny ranch.
That's why the lounge exists on the edge of town. Every town has that lounge. It's like on the edge of town. Is it in this town or is it in that town? Nobody really knows, but they do a lot of business every night.
Oh, I miss ups and downs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ups and downs is one of those places.
I used to go there when I was like 17. Yeah. I didn't work there. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of those, it was the edge of town, like, we kind of let things slide around here.
Yeah. Place. And the bartenders know who all the regulars are, but they'll never say a word about it.
And
like,
if
you walk in and you're like, I don't want to be bothered, they'll be like, we don't know who you are. Never seen them before.
Oh, ups and downs.
So, yeah, this has been, now, my prediction, Robert Kraft is in, if he is convicted, he will be. They have video. He's denied everything, of course, but they have video.
I mean, that's the thing is, I hate when they deny things when there's like really ironclad evidence. Because it's just like, come on, dude, just own up to it. You're making yourself look worse by pretending this isn't happening.
If he is convicted, he will be found in violation of the NFL's personal conduct policy, which could result in a suspension. A few years ago.
Oh my God, if the people of the universe didn't hate the Patriots enough already.
A few years ago, Colts owner Jim Irsay was suspended for, I believe, 6 games after he was pulled over, charged with operating under the influence, and they found about $30,000 worth of prescription drugs in his car.
Oh my God.
This is...
I know I don't know anything about at least those sports, but I actually know who Jim Irsay is, and it's so funny to picture that.
Yeah.
And I know him because he was on Parks and Recreation.
And Jim Irsay's reputation took a big hit after that. Now,
you don't say.
I believe if Robert Kraft is suspended, it will be 2 games.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that seeing a prostitute is less serious than what Jim Irsay did.
Well, here's the thing, all right? If you are one of the 32 billionaires who owns the NFL, who are the ultimate, Roger Goodell would like to say he's the ultimate authority on punishment in these things, and he may or may not be, because those 32 billionaires are in his ear, and he is accountable to them. They are his bosses.
God, this is one of the things that makes me very frustrated.
If you get caught with $30,000 of prescription drugs in your car, the other 31 billionaires are going to say, you know what? That's your problem. That's not us. We're smarter than that. We're not even doing drugs. Whatever you got going on over here, Jim, is a problem. Go fix it.
See, I picture them saying, can I have some?
And they're like, 6-game suspension, $500,000 fine, no problem. Robert Kraft gets picked up for going to the rub and tug place. Those other 31 billionaires are sitting around going, if anybody ever looked into my sexual history, I'm done. Jim Irsay is one of those 31 people, by the way.
Very true.
Jerry Jones is like, I don't want to talk about what happens on the bus.
Well, that's the thing is, it's a matter of, I know you hate when I compare things to movies, but this is very, very accurate. in Cruel Intentions, Sarah Michelle Gellar says to Selma Blair, everybody's doing it. It's just that no one talks about it.
Yeah.
And that's basically, I mean, that's basically saying, I mean, everyone's doing it. It's just a matter of whether or not you get caught. Because I know, I hate how many of my male, I mean, obviously I have more male friends than your average person because I'm a comedian, but how many of my male friends that I know have seen a prostitute, like that I know have done this, whether it be in Amsterdam or at Chinatown late enough night, like
two games. That's my prediction. Two games.
I cannot wait to follow up on that. Well, oh, this is your favorite one. Not your favorite one, but you were right. Hang on. Can I high five you across the board?
Yes, you can. Boom. High five action.
According to, it's funny too, because we both have stories from USA Today, even though we both hate it. But this was just the most succinct coverage of it. According to USA Today, Fox announced on Friday that Jesse Smollett was suspended from the hit show Empire after the actor was accused of paying two men to attack him last month in what police say was a ploy to raise his profile because he was unhappy with his salary.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I forget. Did anyone predict that?
Wait a second. Stop. Shea Spillane, are you telling me that Jussie Smollett was not attacked randomly by two guys carrying bleach and a rope and wearing MAGA hats in Chicago? Are you telling me that this didn't happen the way that Jussie said it went down? I am shocked. Shocked. People of the caliber of Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris said that this was a dark moment in American history.
Well, and especially, you know, it's really shocking that this wasn't true, because speaking of the friends that I have, I know that all of my African-born black friends are super big Trump supporters. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
remember, he said it was white dudes. He insinuated it was white dudes.
He insinuated it was white dudes, but it was two dudes who were blacker than him, who both worked with him. Like, talk about the most poorly made plans ever. Like, if you're going to pull off a stunt, know how to pull it off properly. But I remember, like, I watched this on the news. We didn't talk about it last week because
he paid them with a check. He paid them with a check. Charles Barkley, all right, himself, not an intellectual powerhouse, all right? Charles Barkley.
I thought he was a Mensa.
Charles Barkley was on the air the other night talking about this until they made him shut up about it. But one of the things that he said was, yo, Jussie, get some cash, man. And it's like, Charles Barkley knows.
Paper trail, dude.
Charles Barkley knows. You wrote them a check. And now he's disputing that. And he's saying, no, I said that was for personal training. It doesn't matter what you wrote on the check, guy.
Well, and it's just like, he wouldn't turn over his phone. Buy a burner, dude. Drug dealers do it. Why can't you figure out how to?
You know, he wasn't making enough money on Empire. He couldn't afford a burner.
He couldn't buy a $20 burner.
I mean, he made these poor guys buy the rope.
I know. That's my favorite part, is that the video evidence, he's making them do everything. And like, honestly, in this day and age, how stupid can you be? There, when you walk down this, if you live in New York City, you're on camera an average of 20 times a day.
Right.
I know this is just like a random fact that I happen to know, but I imagine Boston, Chicago, I imagine it's maybe slightly less, but still around 20 times a day. You really think you're going to pull something like that off?
But there has been some speculation on the part of the Chicago police that the area where this took place, the area where they pretend attacked him,
protect him,
had a video camera, and that he may have been trying to do it in front of a known video camera and didn't realize that the video camera was pointed the other way. So that he would have had video evidence of the attack. And once the video evidence comes out, oh, well.
Of all the But the thing is, I mean, the thing you say about the bleach and the rope is really, that's the biggest, like, what were you thinking of it? Because it'd be one thing to just have the crap kicked out of you and just be like, oh, two people attacked me.
Yeah.
Because that would make sense in terms of, I mean, I got jumped when I was in high school and it was a completely random attack just because I was, ironically, just because I was white in a black neighborhood.
Yeah.
But the rope and the bleach and all of that, it screams premeditation.
But,
and premeditated attacks don't happen on the street. They don't. It doesn't happen that way.
And then we find out it's clothesline, and I'm like, did you enrage a laundress at 2 in the morning? Like, who else is walking around Chicago with a clothesline and bleach? Yeah.
Who even has a clothesline anymore?
Yeah. And it's...
You know the last person I knew that had a clothesline? My grandmother, who died 10 years ago.
You will recall... When we were first talking...
Okay, sorry, I meant to say passed away.
You will recall when we were first talking about this that I mentioned the rope. And I said that the rope is a key detail in this.
Yeah, because who just has a rope?
Who's got rope?
You said the same thing about the bleach.
Who's walking around? It makes more sense if you're coming back from a convenience store or something like that, maybe you're walking around with bleach.
Yeah, like maybe you're going to clean the bathroom or something.
You go to a big city and try and find some rope. There's no rope around anymore.
Yeah, like that is the definition of premeditation.
Like these guys went to the hardware store and bought clothesline and made a noose out of it.
On camera. Oh my God, watching it and how like chill they were. It was just hilarious.
But here's the thing. The outcome here is predictable and somewhat hilarious, except for the fact that it does do real damage to real victims. And it does do,
That's what honestly I don't laugh about this situation.
But the other side of this... Because you shared my suspicions that something was rotten in Denmark with this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people who...
And you know, I'm always the biggest defender. You're always yelling at me for being so bleeding heart liberal.
Right. I don't think people who listen to shows like this or watch guys on YouTube or read commentary on the internet understand just how far we stick our neck out. To say something like, I don't think this happened the way that he said it happened. And I grappled with whether or not to even bring it up and to even bring it up in the way that I did.
Yeah.
Because as soon as...
This was 3 weeks ago that this broke?
Yeah. It was the first week of February.
I was going to say, it was the beginning of the month.
As soon as you say, I don't believe the victim, or as soon as you say there may be questions here...
Your throat gets jumped down.
The zealots come out of the woodwork, mm-hmm. and they're like, you're a monster! How could you think we believe victims? And it's like, no. And I went through the whole thing, and I said, you know what? This is what the police are going to look at. This guy's going to walk in and say, I was jumped and I was attacked. And the police are going to sit there, and they're going to be like... We've seen a lot of stuff. We haven't seen that before. This seems a little fishy.
Fishy. Yeah. Well, at the risk of sounding conceited on both our parts, I think that's why our show is so great, is that you and I both don't give a word I can't say on this show and speak with our gut and speak with our brains. And it's nice that we're kind of on different sides of the aisle, but we always... find the truth in the middle.
That's what we aim to do.
Yeah.
You know,
and the fact that, because people need people who will say the things that no one wants to say.
With a story like this, where the media is all pouncing on it and all the usual, dum-dums on Twitter and social media are pouncing on it. If something is wrong, if you look at it and you say, you know what, something tells me that this doesn't add up.
There's especially when you spend as much time reading the news and looking into this stuff as we do. Like, I mean, it's you can see when something just kind of makes you turn your head like, this doesn't really add up.
The mob wants you to be silent because the mob needs to be correct. All those politicians and I
one of the great struggles of both of our lives.
Yeah. And I said this, like, because this came right after Covington Catholic. And I said, all you people who are jumping on board with this, if this goes the other way on you, you're going to look like a fool. And there is nothing wrong with looking like a fool, except that if you do it often enough, people are going to believe that you are one.
Yeah.
And that is the point that this got to. And now everyone's quietly pulling down their tweets and quietly retracting their support and yada, yada, yada.
And it's... WMFL? Well, it is funny, too, just thinking about, you know, since it basically got established that he was full of it. How many people that ran to his aid, like you said, just kind of quietly backed away. And then on the flip side of that, how many people have remained silent have suddenly come out of the woodwork and said, like, and started to have an opinion on it. And which I think is very interesting how, like you said, it's like there's one side or the other. Like Ellen Page came out talking about it, Tyler Perry, but this was all after the allegations were made that I'm calling them allegations. I truly believe that it was all bull, but you know, it's America, innocent until proven guilty. But it's weird to see like the people that were in such staunch support of him. And then once this came out, all of a sudden we're a completely different group of celebrities and of people with some sort of influence started hopping on that gravy train. Do we have a caller? Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. Is it the guy who always calls us? Ellen Page is great though. I remember I served her, at the restaurant I worked at when I lived in LA, and she thanked me like 8 times. And I kept just looking at her being like, you
100% agreed.
I like look at her and I'm like, sweetheart, you don't have to thank me this much.
Call,
she's like, almost everyone I know in this industry has worked in restaurants. I do have to thank you this much.
All right, thanks.
Because I know the struggle. And so look up what she said about this situation. It's very interesting.
That was our favorite caller, Chris, who
Chris!
Brought up the point that the detail that didn't work for him was the noose around the neck and the fact that when the police show up, he's still wearing it.
Yeah, totally. Like, who doesn't take off a noose after it gets put around your neck forcibly?
Exactly.
Oh my God, there is one sentence that I never thought would come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Who doesn't take off a noose?
And it's...
Oh my God.
The thing about this...
This is the world we're living in right now.
The thing about this attack was, there was some detail there that I think for a lot of different people just went too far. You know, for me, it's these guys yelling, this is MAGA country. In Chicago. Chicago ain't MAGA country. I got news for you.
Look up the map of like how the voting went.
Yeah.
In the 2016 election, you'll notice that most of the middle of the country is red, except for one small little blotch around Chicago.
Let me tell you what's going on with that. There are like 5 Trump supporters who live in Chicago, and they live alongside the river on the Gold Coast, or they live alongside the lake on the Gold Coast, and they ain't downtown. All right. They ain't going anywhere near downtown because they know as soon as they go downtown, people are going to be like, you voted for Trump. And then they got to hide.
Have to duck and cover.
Yeah. but it is. It's unfortunate. We have another story that came out of Pensacola, Florida, where this trans activist who had campaigned to get all sorts of gay rights initiatives passed. Came to the conclusion that he wasn't getting enough attention for the media anymore, so he burned his house down.
Well, I think it comes from two places. Like, that I feel like is almost more noble than this. Jussie Smollett wanted more money and wanted to be more famous.
That, which is the most crass element of all of this.
Yeah, like that's why he was trying to hop on a gravy train.
We just talked about India bombing.
Because this is all so prevalent right now.
We just talked about India bombing Pakistan so that somebody can get votes. Here's Jussie Smollett playing the American people so he can get a pay raise.
Yeah.
All right? This is the world that we live in right now, folks.
I hate it.
Because of social media, because of the self-radicalization that is going on, because our journalists are lazy, Because it's all about the clicks.
Because people are greedy.
Because it's all about the clicks, and it's all about looking good to your friends and saying the right things and doing the right things and not about the truth.
That's why I don't give a crap what people think of me and say whatever the hell I'm thinking.
I get my news on the internet. And it's like, well, please stop.
Somebody tried to prove me wrong by quoting Wikipedia the other day.
Yeah.
He's like, it's actually a really dependable news source. I was like, you freaking dummy.
Wikipedia is the first. You've heard the phrase last refuge of a scoundrel. Wikipedia is the first refuge of a scoundrel.
It made me feel better when he said that, actually. When he tried to defend Wikipedia, which don't get me wrong, if I want to know something random, that's where I look. But like, just like, oh, what year did that movie come out or something like that? But he was trying to use it to like talk about a news story. I was like, dude, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Very quickly, this bad boy blew up yesterday. This is from Rotten Tomatoes. They made some changes to the site, Shay.
What kind of changes?
As of February 25th. We will no longer show the want-to-see percentage score for a movie during its pre-release period. Why, you might ask, because that's the way they write their blog posts. Why, you might ask, I'm just sitting down and having a conversation with you because I'm friendly. I'm the Rotten Tomatoes blog. Why, you might ask, we found that the want-to-see percentage score is oftentimes confused with the audience score percentage number. The audience score percentage, for those who haven't been following, is the percentage of all users who have rated the movie or TV show positively. That is, given it a star rating of 3.5 or higher, and is only shown once the movie or TV show is released. Why are you doing this? You may be asking. What else are we doing? We are disabling the comment function prior to a movie's release date. Unfortunately, we have seen an uptick in non-constructive input, sometimes bordering on trolling, which we believe is a disservice to our general readership. We have decided that turning off this feature for now is the best course of action. Don't worry, though. Fans will still get to have their say. Once a movie is released, audiences can leave a user rating and comments as they always have. So, it is curious the timing of this, because Captain Marvel is coming out next weekend, not this weekend. And Captain Marvel was sitting at a 26% want to go see it rating from the audience, and was weighed down with negative commentary, which certain left-wing media outlets, bloggers, and other fake news professionals claimed was review bombing. There are a bunch of headlines. They are review bombing Captain Marvel. No one was review bombing Captain Marvel because no reviews were submitted. Rotten Tomatoes used to give you two buttons under the title of the movie. Yes, I want to see it. No, I don't. And whichever one you clicked on, you could then leave a comment explaining why you wanted to see the movie or why you didn't. And a lot of people clicked no, I don't for Captain Marvel. In fact, 74% of the people who went to Rotten Tomatoes clicked no, I don't, and left comments saying things like, I don't like Brie Larson. I don't like the marketing. I don't like the feminist nonsense that is floating around this. I don't like X, Y. Now, it is worth noting in all of this, Shay Spillane, that Rotten Tomatoes is not some wonky internet startup. Rotten Tomatoes is, in fact, majority held by NBC Universal, mm-hmm. with a 20% stake owned by Warner Brothers.
Oh, God, I hate that about
Disney. Has
learning that everything is fixed.
Disney has not had a good year.
Mm-mm.
If you've been following...
PR-wise, it's been kind of a nightmare.
If you've been following their stock performance and their shareholder meetings, you know that... a lot of things did not go the way that Disney wanted them to last year, including Solo, A Star Wars Story, including A Wrinkle in Time, including Mary Poppins, including sales of Star Wars merchandise. Disney made a lot of money at the box office, had the two biggest films at the box office last year, but finds itself in a street battle with its shareholders, who are the people who really matter to the publicly traded company, over its overall performance. Disney, therefore, cannot have Captain Marvel go down in flames. Brie Larson, through her antagonism of certain corners of the fandom, has managed to erode the pre-opening projected weekend box office to the tune of $60 million. They originally thought this film was going to do 160 opening. Now they're down to 100. Some people have set it lower. And because Rotten Tomatoes has only 26% of visitors want to go see the movie, and because left-wing outlets are saying the movie's being review bombed, which it's not, Rotten Tomatoes, now, there have been a lot of theories about why this happened. I'm going to tell you the truth about why this happened. I'm going to tell you that Tim Pool got it wrong. I'm going to tell you that Jeremy from The Quartering got it a little bit more right, but still got it mostly wrong. This happens. This change happens because Disney is in trouble with its shareholders. Disney, NBC, Universal, Warner, they're all publicly traded companies. They're all in the same boat. Disney has phoned a friend and called in a favor and basically said, if this movie sinks, it is bad for all of us.
Yeah.
Please help.
And honestly, I mean, that's what's so frustrating and difficult about being in the digital age is that it grew so rapidly that we don't really have, we keep trying to develop legislation to surround it. Because honestly, I mean, if you think about it, there's nothing on the books to actually say that this is true. But if you think about the situation, that's fraud. That's misleading shareholders.
Yes.
That is what that is.
It's what it is it's trying to sweep everything under the rug in the same way that it was done for years.
Which you can't, but you can't do. But you can because there's no legislation surrounding like this stupid website where people review movies.
Here's what happens. Captain America fails to hit its goals at the box office. Disney has another bad quarter. And the shareholders...
Oh, boo-hoo.
And the shareholders are going to sit there and they're going to say, you just had another quarter where you didn't hit your expectations, so we're going to drive down your stock price and we are going to demand to know, Mr. Bob Iger, what are you doing to right the ship? You knew that Captain Marvel was trending down in its opening box office. We all saw the news coverage. We're pretty sure you saw the news coverage. What did you do about that? Well, now Bob Iger can get on a shareholder call and say, I phoned in a favor at Rotten Tomatoes because I believed they were having a negative impact on the film's opening. That was the step that we took to try and protect your investment in Disney Corporation.
Try to protect a bunch of rich people.
Which is all this is about. And that's where everybody else...
Isn't that
and that's
all
where everybody
everything
else,
is about most of the time?
Pretty much. But that's where everybody else gets this wrong. Everybody says, oh, it's a victory for the trolls. Or everybody says, the left-wing media screwed it up. No. This is a conversation that happened sometime in the last week. Mr. Tomatoes, Mr. Iger is on the phone and he'd like a word.
And now you can both afford to get those new tires for your car.
No, there was no money that exchanged hands, but...
Just in the future because it will make more money because it's... What's that word that Jack Donaghy loved on 30 Rock? Synergy.
Yes.
Synergy.
A favor was called and mm-hmm. the chit has been handed over.
So basically, folks, the game is fixed. We're all screwed unless we're one of them. How's your Wednesday going?
Hey.
It's gonna snow.
Hey, it's WMFO Medford.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We are wrapping things up at The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We do have a few things for you before we go, though. And the first thing is to tell you what's hot, which is our favorite thing from the past or coming week. I am thrilled to tell you that one of my best friends in the entire world, Kim Cherry, just got passed through the blind audition phase of The Voice. Yes. She is an incredible singer. If you've caught Legends of Summer around Boston, you know who she is. But she is going to be on the next round of The Voice, obviously. So I'm not sure which one, but I encourage you guys to tune in on Mondays on NBC. And definitely look up Kim Cherry on YouTube. They have footage of her performance, and it's pretty unbelievable.
Sweet. Sweet. So is this, do you vote them on or vote them off on this show?
No, it's more, I think that's not, I had to have her explain to me how it even works. But so like the first audition, that which is what aired on Monday, it's the one where they have their backs to you and they can like press a button and turn the chair around. All four of them turned the chair around, which is amazing.
Nice.
I'm very, very proud of her. And she's a wonderful person, and like if anyone deserves this, it's her.
Nice.
So everybody tune into The Voice. Even I, like I said, I don't know if like how voting or stuff like that would work, but you know, she's on Instagram, she's on Facebook, just show her support. She's amazing.
Hey, mass pride, let's show some love for her.
She was on the Today Show the other day, actually.
Nice.
But they were talking about her on the Today Show.
Let's show some support.
Just saying, let's back up our Cherry.
Homegrown talent. There you go.
Yeah, she went to Berkeley. She is really mass grown in terms of her singing.
You may remember that we used to have a co-host named Lisa on this show, and you may be wondering what she's been up to.
Yeah.
She and her fiance, Warren, have opened a butcher shop.
Oh, snap.
It is open. It is ready for your business. It is called The Modern Butcher, and you will find it at 226 Merrimack Street in Newburyport, Massachusetts. So it's a little bit of a drive up there. But all of the reviews
it's
that are
beautiful up there, though.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Not this time of year. I'd say maybe go when it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, April's a good time to go there.
Great place to go hang out for a day. And while you're up there, gosh darn it, go get some meat. Because you're going to
get some meat.
You're going to find stuff up there that you're not going to commonly find just sitting around in your local butcher shop.
Plus, like charcuterie level stuff.
Plus, they really know what they're doing up there.
Lisa's a total foodie. Like, if there's anyone I would trust to tell me what kind of meat to eat, oh God, I can't say that without it sounding sexually connotative. Connotative. I can never say that word.
So that is The Modern Butcher in Newburyport, Massachusetts, 226 Merrimack Street. Walk in and say, hey, weren't you on WMFO? We miss you. And you can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/the-modern-butcher.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture, but first we're going to tell you that's a thing that happened, which is the craziest thing that's happened in the past week. For me, I don't know if any of you know who Jacob Wool is. He's a conservative activist, but he was banned from Twitter yesterday for operating a large ring of fake accounts.
Oops.
He operated one called @WomenForSchultz, which posed as a supporter of former Starbucks CEO and presidential hopeful Howard Schultz. He also operated two other banned Twitter accounts, according to a source familiar with the accounts who was not authorized to speak publicly. He will be banned until further notice from operating any personal or professional Twitter accounts.
Does this mean that Howard Schultz's support for his presidency was all fake?
Well, that's what I loved. I mean, My one thing in defense of this dum-dum is that he knew women for Schultz would go a long way if anyone believed it.
Yeah.
You know, like, because who's voting for that dumb? Like, ugh, I hate Howard Schultz. But like, who's going to vote for him, especially any person with any sort of feminist or what have you agenda. But if there's a Twitter account, maybe some less intelligent woman would go, oh, maybe I should vote for this guy.
Kansas. Stephen Hart is 45. Last week, he got into an argument with his girlfriend as she was leaving for the airport. Perhaps regretting what he said, he decided to go find her. Lacking a car, he did what most of us would not do in this situation. He stole a Pepsi truck. Delivery ramped down and delivery